Good morning. Hope everyone's had a good last week and a good start to this week already. I know what we've got to mention during praise and prayer, but we had the fifth quarter Friday night, and we probably had close to 100 people up here, and it was a good turnout, a good time, and thank you to everyone that donated some food and the time to help out with that. We greatly appreciate it. If you would turn your Bible to Colossians chapter 4. And as you're turning there, I think that sometimes in our lives that we get, you know, that certain areas we don't always put enough focus and time into. I think we have to admit that sometimes prayer is, for the most part, one of the areas that's not as disciplined in our spiritual walk. Sometimes it's sporadic at best, erratic most of the time, and more often uninspired than powerful. It's an untapped resource and unexplored content where countless treasure remains to be unearthed. Sometimes we talk about it more than anything else and practice it less than we should. And yet it remains one of the necessary disciplines we must include in our daily lives if we're going to continue to conform to the lives that we're called to live as disciples of Christ. You know, when we read scripture, you kind of get that almost an instant benefit from it. You get the quick understanding of it. But with prayer, it requires a little bit more faith because we're praying to someone that we can't see. We're talking to someone that we can't, you know, they're not in the same room. They're not in the same, we physically can't see them. You know, if I was going to go talk to one of my friends, I mean, you're going to have that conversation, just pick it up. You know, you may not see somebody for a while and you're going to pick up that conversation. But that's how those conversations should be when we go to talk to God. It should be like we're talking to a friend. We should just pick up and like it. Even though we physically can't see him, but God's standing right next to us. That's how we need to talk to him. And like everything which requires faith, prayer runs contrary to us in the world we live in. It's not often neglected, but it's difficult to do. Charles Spurgeon said, "If the spirit of prayer is not with the people, the minister may preach like an angel, but cannot expect success. There may be in that church wealth, talent, labor, many outreach efforts, but the Lord is not there. Prayer is sure evidence of the presence of God, as the rising thermometer is evidence of an increase in temperature. If God is near a church, it must pray. If he's not, it is one of the obvious signs he is absent. We'll be lethargic in prayer." If we're not praying, if we're not taking time talking to God, how can we grow as a church body, as a church family? We need to be praying individually. We need to be praying as a church as a whole. Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6 says, "Devote yourself to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open the door for us to us for the message to speak the mystery of the Messiah, which I am in prison, so I may reveal it as I am required to speak. Act wisely towards outsiders. Make the most of the time. Your speech should always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person." Let's open up with prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We could just gather here inside this hay barn and worship you through the music this morning, through your word. Just be with Jeff and Trissa as they're out of town, that you would just give them a restful time and come back just rejuvenated and relaxed, Lord. Just be with our time, that everything we say today will be honor and glorifying to you. And as we dig into having a disciplined life of prayer, that you would just lay it on each one of our hearts to dig deeper into this in the coming weeks. In your precious name, amen. You know, if you look at Paul, he understood prayer and its power. And it was an undeniable part of his life and his ministry. If we read through the portions of the scripture which he wrote, you will find that Paul repeatedly called us to pray. For the matter of fact is, we cannot really be a growing Christian and not pray. Just like you cannot have a growing marriage if you don't talk to your spouse. You can be a Christian and not pray, just like you can be married and not talk to your spouse. But in both circumstances, your relationship will become stagnant, and you will never know the full benefit of your relationship. if you're, you know, newly married, you're gonna, if you were to get married and never sit there and talk to your spouse, that relationship's not going to go anywhere. And you could have talked the whole time you were dating, get married and never talk again, and that relationship is going to get stagnant. But if we're sitting there having the conversations 2-3 in the morning or whatever, and having those daily conversations, what's going to happen to that relationship? It's going to grow. It's going to become stronger. That's what we need to do with our prayer life, is have it where we're constantly talking to God so we can continually grow in there and grow closer to Him. Prayer is the pathway through which we can talk to God. That's gives us the avenue to do that. The first thing we'll look at this morning is to pray persistently. Paul begins by saying, devote yourself to prayer or continue earnestly in prayer. In the original language, it says continue steadfast in prayer. The one word translated continue steadfast is one word in the original language. It can be translated persist in, adhere firmly to, or remain devoted to, or give unremitting care to. It carries with the idea of dedication. It is immensely powerful. And in this verse, we are commanded to pray. Persistence means not to give up. It means not quitting, not giving in, not becoming discouraged, but when the answers do not come quickly or in the manner imagined. Because we're going to be praying and praying. Sometimes we're not going to get that answer right away. It may be, you may get a quick answer. It may take months. It may take years. But we need to be persistent in talking to God until we get the answer. But we need to always be building on those prayers too. Don't keep praying for the same. You can pray for the same thing, but we need to always be praying for other things as well. Some people give up easily on prayer. They quit because they say it does not feel like, they don't feel like praying. The joy is gone. Persistence means not giving up. It means not quitting, not giving in, not becoming discouraged when answers do to come quickly in the manner imagined, like I said. But sometimes we can give up easily in prayer. They quit because they don't feel like praying. The joy is gone. The feeling is not there. But we are not to live by our feelings, but we are to live by the commands we are given by God to pray without ceasing. That's what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where he says, pray constantly. Persistent in prayer is not an option for us. In fact, it's a direct command. Praying constantly doesn't mean we need to spend all day on our knees in prayer. But we are constantly in a condition of prayer. We cannot pray every moment of every day, but we can keep in communication with God throughout our day. We need to have that. We need to have a heart and mindset of being and talking to God. When you get that 5 minutes or time throughout your day, talk to Him. It's good to have that time where you go away and alone and just have that time in a prayer closet or just that time where we can get into deep prayer, but we can be in constant communication with God throughout our day while we're, whatever we do in our careers, you can take time. There's always time throughout that day where we can sit there and talk to God. Paul's requirement for constant prayer can cause us problems. We have no problem praying every day, but how do we pray constantly? Life places a lot of demands on us. We cannot spend every moment in prayer. We can live every moment in confidence that we are connected to God's love. We need to talk to God for guidance whenever we need to make any decision or facing difficult challenges in our lives, because even though He knows the situation we are facing, He wants to hear from us. And that's the hard part, is we know that God knows everything, but He still wants us to come to Him with the big things, the little things. It doesn't matter. We need to, whatever those needs are, even though He knows what they are, He wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to have that time of communion through prayer. A couple of the parables I was looking through in Luke really talk about being persistent in prayer. Luke 11:9 says, is where we find the promise that says, so if you keep asking, it will be given to you. If you keep searching, you will find it. Keep knocking, the door will be open to you. Keep asking. We don't get the answer right away. Keep asking. Keep going back to Him. Keep talking to God. Jesus doesn't want us to give up in prayer. He instructs us to be persistent. But just because we make God ask God for something doesn't always mean we're going to get what we want, what we ask for. God will always answer our prayer according to His will, not our own. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8 says, he then told them a parable of on the need for them to pray always and not become discouraged. He said, there was a judge in a certain town who did not fear God or respect man. And a widow in that town kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he was unwilling, he later said to himself, even though I don't fear God or respect man, yet because this widow keeps persistent pestering me, I will give her justice so she doesn't wear me out by her persistent coming. Then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge said. Will not God grant justice to his elect when they cry out to him day and night? Will he delay to help them? I tell you that he will swiftly grant them justice. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, he will find that faith on earth. Jesus prays the persistent prayer with an illustration to explain it. The parable tells us of a widow who was not receiving justice for her case. So she continued to pester the judge and will not take no for an answer. Because the widow persisted in her pleas for justice, the ungodly judge finally relented and gave her what she asked for. Jesus challenged us, his followers, to persist in their prayers in the same way. But it goes back to what I said a minute ago, that even though we keep going back, we keep asking, we may not always get what we want. It's going to be according to what God's will is and what God knows that we need in our lives. So we can keep that persistent going back and going back, but we have to be happy with the answer that we get. And just because we keep asking for something doesn't mean we're always going to get it. Now, there's a difference between persistent prayer and a long prayer. A person who is persistent in prayer does not necessarily have to pray for a long time. They are simply people who develop a habit of prayer and practice their habit. While we cannot devote every minute of every day to prayer, we can live in such a way that our lives honor God, and we can live in thanksgiving for all the blessings we have received, great and small, and we can offer prayers for the people we interact with daily. The possibilities are endless. We interact with so many people in our circles throughout our day. Do we just stop quietly and pray for them? If you see a need, or are we just going on with our daily walk and just, you know, forgetting about him? But if we're seeing a need, even if you can't physically pray with that person, take time and just pray with them, pray for them. Praying constantly doesn't mean continuous uninterrupted prayer, but humble submission to God in all the details of our lives, big and small. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request. Stay alert in this with all preservation and intercession for all the saints. Psalms 86:3, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day. George Mueller said, if you're going to take up your cross and follow Jesus, prayer is not an option for you. If you're going to be like him, you will pray as he did. He was persistent in prayer, and as his followers are commanded to follow his lead. The next thing we see is to pray passionately. If we're going to be persistent in something, it stands to reason that we would want to be passionate about it as well. I mean, how many times do we sit there and, you know, we get passionate about the sports we're watching, or the passion about the hobbies that we're in? We get passionate about so many other things, but why don't we get passionate in our prayer lives? The definition of passionately is in a way that shows strong feelings or beliefs. In fact, Paul says we should be vigilant or watchful, which is opposite of being lazy. There's some verses here that just give us examples of that. When Jesus prayed, it shows that he was passionate about it because things happened. He knew who he was praying to. Luke 3:21, it says, at his baptism, while he was praying, heaven was opened. In Luke 6:12, before he called his disciples, it says, during those days he went out to the mountain to pray and spent all night in prayer to God. Are we spending, when we have things that are on our heart, are we spending all night in prayer? Or are we just taking 20 minutes here, 30 minutes there and praying about it? Because if we're going to be persistent about praying for a need, we should be passionately praying for it as well. Luke 9:29 says, at his transfiguration, as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed. His clothes became dazzling white. Passionate prayer ushers us into the throne room of heaven and enables us to experience the glory of communicating with God. When we sit there and we have that time, we're praying, it opens that doorway so we can talk to God. In John 17, it said he prayed for all those who would follow him, that we would be kept from evil, from the evil one, and we would be sanctified by the truth, which is in his word. Passionate prayer expresses the deepest desires of our hearts and reveals our love for others. We also see in John 17 a great example how Jesus prayed for himself and how he prayed for others. So when I was looking at John 17, looking at that chapter, it shows us, you know, he starts off in the first, he spent five verses praying for himself. And he spent, then the whole next section was praying for his disciples, and praying for what they were going through. And then he finishes up the chapter by praying for all believers. It says, I pray not for these, but also for those who believe in me through their message. May they all be one as you, Father, and I are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us so the world may believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you've given me, and may they be the one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they be made completely one so the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me, Father. I desire for those who have given me to be with me where I am. Then I will see my glory, which you have given me, because you have loved me before the world's foundation. Righteous Father, the world has not known you. However, I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and will make it known, so the love you have loved me with may be in them, and I in them. So we know that, you know, here he is getting ready to go to be crucified on the cross, and he's taking time where he could spend the whole time praying for himself. He was praying for those immediate disciples, and he was also praying for us. In Luke 22:44, where Jesus is praying the night before, through the night in the Garden of Gethsemane, we read, being in anguish, he prayed more fervently, and his sweat became drops of blood falling to the ground. Passionate prayer enables us to be totally honest with God, even during the most trying circumstances. Jesus always prayed with passion because he knew who it was he was talking to. He knew that the access to the Father is a powerful thing and something not to take lightly. S.D. Gordon, in his book Quiet Talks on Prayer, says, and every time we see Jesus praying, he was praying with passion. Prayer from a heart. That is what passionate prayer is. It is a prayer from the heart that is not just from the head. We should never lose the passion when we talk to God. Jesus was always passionate when he prayed, and that's how he wants us to pray as well. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another so that you may be healed. The urgent request of the righteous person is very powerful in its effect. If we're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, to take up his cross and follow him, it will require us to be passionate in our prayer life and to focus on Jesus, not ourselves. But not only must we pray persistently and passionately, we must pray with gratefully. I mean, if we're going to be his disciples and follow him, again, we got to surrender to ourselves to him, pick up his cross and follow him. We can't look at our own wants and our own needs, our own things that we want. We got to do what he wants us to do. Pray with thanksgiving. We should pray with thanksgiving because God is worthy of thanksgiving. It's only right to credit him for every good and perfect gift he gives. When we are thankful, our focus moves off our selfish desires and off the pain of the current circumstances. Expressing thankfulness helps us remember that God is in control and reminds us of the bigger picture that we belong to God and we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. The constant theme that should run through our prayers is that of thanksgiving. And Paul mentions it several times throughout the New Testament. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. If we stop and look at that, whatever we do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of God. Do we do that? Are we doing everything in his name? For his glory, or are we doing it for our own desires? 1 Timothy 4:4 says, for everything created by God is good, and nothing should be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. When we pray with gratitude, we accomplish several things. The first thing is it articulates dependence. It says that you know that who God is. You do know who you are, and you're aware, at least to some degree, of how desperate we are where we should be if we have his grace and presence in our lives. Where would we be if we didn't have that? If we didn't have that gift of salvation, that we could have the hope that comes with that? When we pray, we should always express our understanding that every breath we take is, in fact, a gift from God. Failure to pray with gratitude demonstrates a self-reliance and self-sufficiency that is insulting to God. Which brings me to my second observation here about the expression of gratitude. Not only does it articulate dependence, it generates humility. Expressing gratitude continues to remind us of how truly helpless we are without God. We can't pridefully come before God. We have pride. It's just going to be a big block. It's going to be a hindrance to us. But if we come with humility and we just humbly come before him, then because we are truly helpless without him. Everything in this world, our flesh, the world around us, the people around us, all try and reinforce the idea of self-made man. But everything in God's word speaks to the contrary. Micah 6:8 says, mankind, he has told you what is good. And what the Lord has required of you, to act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God. Expressing gratitude demonstrates relationship. It says that we know that he is our Father and we are his children. And as his children, we know that he loves us and has provided for us out of that love. When we fail to express gratitude, we are taking God for granted and assuming that somehow we deserve his grace and kindness. Nothing could be further from the truth. We are blessed because Jesus has made it possible through his death, burial, and resurrection for us to be adopted into his family. The benefits we enjoy are the benefits of relationship. And when we express our gratitude, it demonstrates the reality of that relationship. There are a few things as disappointing or heartbreaking as an ungrateful child. When we fail to express gratitude, we are taking God for granted and assuming that we somehow deserve his grace and his kindness. Nothing could be further from the truth. We are blessed because Jesus made it possible through his death again and burial and resurrection for us to be adopted into his family. And again, we need to express that gratitude. We should be thankful because God is worthy of every thanksgiving. Not only is it right to credit him for every good and perfect gift he gives, when we are thankful, our focus moves off our selfish desires. Again, in the current pain of the circumstances, expressing thankfulness helps us remember that God is in control. It reminds us of the bigger picture that we belong to God and we've been blessed and truly have abundant life and gratefulness. When we pray with persistence and with passion, it enables us to express the depth of our gratitude to God who loves us so much and so desires it to be in our relationship with us, that his only son to die on the cross could have forgiven us of our sins in relationship with God. What is greater than this? That's the reason we should give thanks when we pray. We must pray for others too. Intercessory prayer is an act of praying on behalf of others. It is praying for God's will to be done in the lives of other people. Not only is there far too little prayer being offered these days, but much of what is offered is pure selfish. How many times do we say, Lord, give me this, give me that, instead of praying for the people we interact with? Intercessory prayer characterizes the prayer life of Jesus. Again, we look back at John 17. It shows us where he prayed for himself. He prayed for others. Isaiah 53:12 says, therefore, I will give him the many as a portion, and he will receive the mighty as a spoil, because he has submitted himself to death and was counted among the rebels. Yet he bore the sins of many and interceded for the rebels. Luke 22:32, Jesus tells Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. In Luke 23:34, on the cross, Jesus was praying for others when he said, Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. And they divided his clothes and cast lots. John 14:16, Jesus interceded for us, asking the Father to send his Holy Spirit. Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In John 17:9, he prayed for us, the church. He says, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, because they are yours. Romans 8:34, who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is the one who died, but even more has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore, he is always able to save those who come to God through him, since he lives and intercedes for us. Understanding the power of prayer, Paul wanted the church in Colossians to pray with a purpose. He wanted them to pray for him, asking God to open a door that he could share the gospel with those he met. Paul's sitting in prison. Instead of having the people pray for his situation and him being in prison, he's like, no, pray for me that I can be used of God to reach other people that I come in contact with. It was the gospel that Paul lived for. It was preaching the gospel that landed him in prison. And it was that the preaching of the gospel was always on the forefront of his mind. Paul was about following the Great Commission. He was about making disciples of all nations. God's purpose in wanting us to be more like Jesus is not the end all, but he wants us to conform to the image of Jesus as we are continue to work for Jesus. When we pray for others, that's how we start. We're taking the eyes off ourselves and we're putting them on other people that we come in contact with. In John 20:21, Jesus said to them, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Our purpose in spiritual growth is not merely to enjoy the personal benefits of relationship with God, which is certainly a benefit. It's ultimately to carry out the Great Commission of making of disciples of all nations by embodying the Great Commission, which is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, love our God with all that we are, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And one way to carry this out of this command is to pray for others. If we're going to be reaching others and following the Great Commission, we need to be praying for the people, praying for everyone, not just for what our selfish, for what we want in our lives. We pray for that, but we must pray for others as well. Paul was always concerned about doing the will of God. How many of our prayers are directed at the expansion of his eternal kingdom rather than the expansion of our goals and wants? How much are we praying that God's kingdom will grow? Are we praying that our stuff, our personal wants and needs, our bank account will get bigger? We should be praying that his kingdom should be getting bigger in everything we do, in every time we pray. If we were to chronicle our prayer life, knowing how much time we spend praying for different things, how much of our time will be spent praying for our family, for their health, for the health and well-being of your loved ones, compared to how much we are praying for those we know who are lost? Praying for others is important because it fills a New Testament command. We are to pray for all people. We are to pray for the government leaders. We are to pray for the unsaved. We are to pray for our fellow believers. We are to pray for those that are preaching the gospel. We are to be praying for the persecuted church. Praying for others gets our focus off ourselves, as I said before, and onto the needs around us. As we carry each other's burdens, we will fulfill the law of Christ. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 2. First of all, then, I urge you that petitions, prayer, and intercessions and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for the kings and all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil, quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request. Stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with the boldness of the mystery of the gospel, for I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough in him to speak as I should. Are we praying that? Are we praying to be, that when we interact with people, that we would have the boldness to share the gospel? Galatians 6:2 says, carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Romans 8:26, in the same way, the Spirit also joins to help us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. Charles Spurgeon said, no man can be truer kindness in this world than to pray for me. Are we taking time to pray for others? As we start wrapping this up this morning, what would happen in our prayer lives if we really began to pray? If we became disciplined prayer warriors? If instead of doing some of the things that we are in the habit of doing, which have no eternal consequences, we were to dedicate that time to prayer? What would happen in our families if we begin to pray for them more? What would happen here in this, for this church, if we pray for God to move in our midst? What would happen in our hearts if we prayed regularly that God would search us and know our hearts and cleanse us from any attitude or action which is keeping us from being more like Jesus? What is keeping us or you from a disciplined prayer life? And is it worth it? What do we have in our lives? What habits? What's being that hindrance to us, keeping us from being to have that disciplined prayer life? I think there's three things that we can examine, that we should examine every time before we go to pray. The first thing is examine your heart attitude, because prayer is a fellowship with God and is a direct reflection of our relationship with him. It always involves our heart attitude. If you're in love with him, your prayer life will reflect that love. Prayer begins with our heart. It's an outpouring of our heart towards God and always reveals the truth on how we feel towards him. If we got a lot of junk in our life from the day, are we trying to ask for forgiveness and clear that up before we really get into the deep part of our prayer with him. When we pray, we should consider our attitudes. We should always humble ourselves before God. We shouldn't pray with God with an attitude of making demands, but of asking God for God's help and the spirit of humility and deference to his will. We need to pray for his will to be done, not our own. And if we're coming to pray with God and we're just got done being in a fight, an argument, that's going to be a hindrance to our prayer lives. We just need to take some time and clear that up before we really start talking to God. Clear up that whatever our attitude is at the time. Measure your words. Prayer begins in our hearts, but makes its way to our lips. And Psalms 19:14 says, "May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Are the things we sing throughout our day, especially when we're praying, acceptable to God? Number three, commit your life. How can you expect God to take us seriously if we are not willing to participate in God's answer to our prayers? Can you seriously pray for people to come to Christ if you're not willing to share the gospel with them? Can we honestly pray to God to meet the material needs of another if we're not willing to contribute some of what God has entrusted to you? If you see what's going on to be effective, if you see we're going to continue to be effective in our prayer lives, we must first 100% commit and willingly act when God answers our prayers. How many times we pray for stuff and we say, send somebody, send, you know, we're always asking God to send somebody else. But when in reality, God's probably calling us to be the ones that step out there and do that need. When we had that fifth quarter, they were asking for people to help. I know they were praying about it. But what if everyone that felt that called us even do that simple thing as making some food didn't do it? Then a need wouldn't have been met. Because if God lays something on our hearts and act, we need to follow through and do it. Our involvement, your involvement may be the answer to his prayer, his answer to our prayer. So when we're praying, be ready for God to start moving and working through your lives and expect him to use you in a mighty way. And I close with this quote by F.B. Meyer. "The greatest tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer." What prayers aren't we offering up to God? What aren't we asking him for? So I hope this week, I know I will personally, I've been wrestling with this all week, is what is our prayer life? Are we being disciplined in our prayer lives? Are we making that a priority? Are we praying with persistence and passionately, praying gratefully, and praying for others? Let's close in prayer. Lord, I just thank you for this time that we could gather together and just dig into your word and just help each one of us to have the prayer life that we should have. Help us to grow it deeper and stronger, Lord. That we would be the prayer warriors that you called us to be, that we would be take the time throughout our day to talk to you, not just in the morning and just at not at night, but constantly throughout our day. I lift up those on our prayer list this morning, Lord, the spoken and the unspoken. Pray your will be done with in all those circumstances, Lord. Just thank you that the retreat went well, Lord. Thank you that the fifth quarter went well. Thank you for the lives that were touched. I just pray that this week that we would pray for those that we come in contact as well, Lord, that we would just, if we see a need, that we would lift it up to you. Just give us a safe week, Lord. We thank you for the blessings that you show us. Just help us to be the disciples you want us to be. In your precious name, amen. Have a good week.